Hello, everyone. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this special edition of Soldier Today Podcast.
Soldier Today Podcast is a product of the Non-Commissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate at the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. Our newest discussion topic today is Arlington National Cemetery. ANC is comprised of land that once belonged to George Washington Park Custis, grandson of Martha Washington and step-grandson of George Washington. The first military burial took place on May 13, 1864 for Private William Chrisman. And on June 15th of that year, the War Department officially set aside approximately 200 acres of the property to use as a cemetery. The cemetery is the final resting place for more than 400,000 active duty service members, veterans, and their families. ANC has been in the news recently, and many of our listeners have asked many questions about the burial policies now and in the future.
So this is a great subject to discuss, and the best people to have discussion with here in our studio is the Arlington National Cemetery's Executive Director, Ms. Karen Durham Aguilar, also known as Ms. KDA, Deputy Superintendent for Cemetery Administration, Ms. Renee Yates, along with the ANC Senior Enlisted Advisor, Sergeant Major Juan Abreu. Ms. KDA, Ms. Yates, Sergeant Major Abreu, thank you all for joining us here today.
Good morning. We really appreciate asking us to be here today on this so important and personal topic for our veterans.
That's right. It is a very important topic, and it's I think it's important for us to get the word out so all of our soldiers, our families, and our veterans, community members out there understand what we have to do to maintain the Arlington National Cemetery. So let's dig right in, and I thought we'd begin with a discussion we've all seen in the news most recently. The FY 2019 NDA directed SEC Army to establish revised eligibility criteria to keep the cemetery functioning as an active burial ground well into the future, defined as 150 years. Ms. KDA, can you address those proposed changes and its impact on current eligible veterans?
Well, thank you, Dan. You know, first, it is a hard reality. Without making changes in eligibility, we will close. Yeah. We will close by the calendar year 2041. Even with the expansion that we're planning to build on the southern end that will wrap around the Air Force Memorial, that expansion would only take us to the year 2055. Now, most of our modern day vets relate to one of the sections of the cemetery known as Section 60. Section 60 is going to be full in about 2 years.
Wow.
That's how rapidly we're closing, coupled with the incredible demand that we get. And so without those changes in eligibility, we won't be able to provide that 150-year future, not just for our current generation of veterans, but for that five-year-old that's going to raise his or her hand one day, you know, to serve our great nation.
Yeah. So these are tough decisions.
They are very hard. They are very hard because they're personal, they're emotional.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's we have to preserve our cemetery. It is a national treasure. Renee, can I ask you a question? To help our listeners appreciate the evolution of changes to burial policy over the years, what is your current eligibility criteria and how has it changed over the lifespan of the cemetery?
So Dan, the current criteria varies between above and below ground burial. So for above ground burial, every veteran has to have an honorable discharge and at least one day of active duty service other than for training. And so traditional veterans in the sense that served and got out, had an honorable discharge, are generally eligible for that criteria above ground. Cremated remains placed in a niche or column burial at the cemetery. Ground burial is much more stringent. For ground burial, it's your active duty, that includes your killed in action service members. It's the Medal of Honor, Silver Star and above. That includes the Distinguished Service Cross for all the services, the Silver Star and the Distinguished Service Medal. And then the Purple Heart and POW Medal. All retirees are eligible for ground burial today.
Okay. That was a very thorough laydown. So, ma'am, we've been asked if the draft rule has been posted to the Federal Register. Has it?
No, not yet. It's still part of it. We're going through the Administrative Procedures Act process. So that's a process for which the Department of the Army in this case, and the Department of Defense, prepare a policy, in this case, as a result of statute, direction by statute, to formulate the policy and in language that will then be vetted through the Office of Management Budget and then posted to the Federal Register for the public to provide general comments.
So there will be time for them to provide their comments in the future then.
That's correct, and we encourage their comments. There'll be an opportunity for them in the Federal Register. We will announce the cemetery when that's out and make sure people know how to provide us those comments because we want comments. We want people to understand what it is and why we're doing it.
And will it be clearly defined how they will comment, the procedure of how they can send their comments in?
That's correct. It'll be clearly defined not only in the Federal Register, but on our website, arlingtoncemetery.mil. We'll direct folks where to put those comments. There's actually a portal in the Federal Register that they can click on a button and go right to it.
So pretty easy process. They can voice their opinions. Yes. And give their suggestions and recommendations.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, great. I've watched ANC over the last 5 years, and I've seen many modifications and expansions. I lived just across the street from there, and I loved the place that I lived. Ms. KDA, can you tell us about the expansion projects designed to expand the life of the cemetery, such as the recent opening of the Millennium Site, as well as the proposed Southern Expansion Project?
Hey, thank you, Dan. So Arlington National Cemetery, when it was declared for use as a military cemetery, started out as only 200 acres. So the cemetery has expanded across time, but before we opened our most recent expansion, the last expansion that we did was in the late 70s, opened up in 1980, which was the Columbarium.
Yeah.
So the Columbarium Court, when it was built, because Arlington National Cemetery was running out of room, was considered an expansion. Mm. So the Millennium that opened up last September was our last expansion still within the cemetery footprint. And so that added about 27,000 new spaces. So we are in the middle of the design right now, what we call the Southern Expansion, because it's on the southern part of the cemetery. Mm. It will literally wrap around the Air Force Memorial.
Yeah.
To be able to do that expansion, Federal Highways is going to be straightening out the curve of Columbia Pike. So when that road is straight, that will allow us to expand and the additional room that it will make.
Yeah, that's a significant amount of work.
It is a significant amount. Done. Yes, it is.
I'm very familiar with that area. It's a pretty significant area to get in even to Meyer Henderson Hall there.
Yes. Yeah. So that project is under what's called a Defense Access Road or a DAR project. The Army has several of those across the country. So the DAR projects allow better installation, better access into a military installation.
Yeah.
So in this case, it's the Joint Base, Henderson Hall, as well as the Pentagon. So under the DAR project, there will be a new access road being built into Henderson Hall, straightening out of Columbia Pike, but also adding a lot of local benefit features, wider bus lanes, bike paths, recreational paths, and so forth. And then under our project, Southern Expansion, we're also going to relocate our current operations complex that's inside the cemetery, be across the street, and we'll build a new parking garage because the parking garage that's currently off Memorial Avenue is pretty far away from what will be the newest entrance to the cemetery. And so that will also allow us to open up additional burial capacity inside the current footprint.
Yeah, that's right.
But even with all of that, unless we change the eligibility criteria, we project that we will close as an active cemetery around the year 2055.
Man, that's a very important point.
It is. So that 150-year future can only be achieved through a combination of this most recent expansion that we're going to build and the change in eligibility criteria.
Yeah, and that's an important point. I'm glad you covered the entry into the base there and the parking deck, because those are all important questions that I know that our listeners would want to know the answers to. So I appreciate that. So, ma'am, people have asked, can we expand beyond the perimeters of the current initiatives? Is the Army actively seeking another location or another course of action to be able to expand Arlington National Cemetery?
So we get that question a lot.
Yeah.
Because it is something that's important to the citizens of this country. So veterans have options. The VA has the National Cemetery Administration Enterprise. Mm-hmm. They have today 141 national military cemeteries. Yeah. They're the ones that have the authority, as well as get the money, because you can't do anything without authority and money.
That's right.
To continue to expand or build new cemeteries. So their master plan and their capital investment is that 95% of veterans of this country will have access to a military cemetery within 75 miles of where they live.
That's a pretty good distance,
It is. And so
you want to visit your loved ones.
You don't want to have to travel far to do that.
That's right. Yeah.
And so the VA, NCA, National Cemetery Administration, mm-hmm. they also give grants to states. That's how states build or expand state military cemeteries. And today there's 115 of them.
Yeah.
So you have already nearly 300 military cemeteries that are wonderful options for our veterans. There's only one Arlington National Cemetery. National Shrine, Hollow Ground, located right here in our nation's capital. The other thing that makes Arlington different or special, the honors that we render. So no other cemetery has the resources, because we do that because we have all these military districts, mm-hmm. They have their honor guards that are stationed here. They do a lot of things.
They do.
But it's that veterans branch of the armed services that provides the casket team, that provides the chaplain, that provides the honor guards. And if there's an escort, that provides the marching element and the band and everything that goes into it. Only the Army's Old Guard provides the horse-drawn caisson. But everything else is provided by that veteran's branch of the armed services. So if you were going to have another Arlington West or Arlington West-West, we would not be able to duplicate
the same
honors because we have the resources here.
Yeah.
But again, the VA with the National Cemetery Administration has and is building more expanding cemeteries all over this nation. And the states have the military cemeteries too.
So this plan extends well beyond just Arlington National Cemetery to provide the resources necessary to put our veterans close to home and give them many options of places to be buried while preserving and lengthening our ability to keep A&C open, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's phenomenal. And it's good to know that we have people thinking about it from a very holistic view, and there's lots of options out there for our veterans. So, Renee, back to you. With discussions of changing the eligibility criteria for in-ground burial, how has the American public responded to these changes, especially veterans who have no longer be eligible for A&C burial?
We started this discussion approximately 3 years ago,
just
a little over 3 years ago. And we have a federally mandated advisory committee, a federal advisory committee that held roundtables, three very early on, with all of our veteran service organizations, military service organizations across the area, the local area. And we had them here, had them at the cemetery. We came up with a survey. It actually did two national dialogue surveys where we were able to solicit feedback from the public from across the nation.
And did you get a lot of feedback on that?
250,000.
250,000.
And overwhelmingly, 96% that they wanted Arlington National Cemetery to stay open and active for burials well into the future. And
that's an important metric right there.
It's an important metric.
That is,
and so then how do you do that? How do you take the 22 million veteran population, that's active duty as well as reserve component, retirees, how do you take that population and fit it into less than 100,000 graves at Arlington National Cemetery?
It just can't be done.
Correct. Yeah. And so we've continued our engagements. You know, overwhelmingly, people understand that they want us to expand where we can, restrict eligibility if we have to. Yeah. And what's important to understand is the proposed eligibility criteria, the majority of veterans, you know, under that new criteria, which is going to honor sacrifice for ground burial for those killed in action, those that receive the highest awards, and those that have served in combat, while preserving and honoring service for above ground for those larger populations of retirees and veterans. So when we say people aren't eligible, they might not be eligible for ground burial any longer, but will remain eligible in most cases for above ground interment or column burial.
Yeah. And where can they go to find that out?
On our website, we have an eligibility page specifically talks about the proposed eligibility criteria. And it's on our first homepage of the screen, arlingtoncemetery.mil. They'll see on our rotating ticker, they'll see where they can click on that and go right to a page that will give them all the information, not only about the actual proposed changes, but the course of actions we went through, the process we went through with the surveys and some of the background information. Because this isn't the first time Arlington National Cemetery proposed or executed changes in eligibility. Yeah. In 1967, when the cemetery was close to closure, Secretary of Defense McNamara instituted a very restrictive eligibility criteria at Arlington National Cemetery. It later opened up when situation changed, more land became available, the columbariums were created, and so that it opened up for a larger population of veterans. So it's not the first time, and we always seek opportunities, as Ms. KDA mentioned a little earlier, we're seeking opportunities everywhere to maximize our opportunities for burial.
And Ms. Yates, is it correct that 89% of the veterans that took part of that survey, they indicated that at all costs, keep Arlington open.
Yeah.
And if required, make those eligibility changes. And that's right. Important to remember that out of the 250,000, 89% of those veterans want that change.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I'm one of those. I was one of the 250,000 respondents to your survey.
Thank you.
And I agreed. We have to preserve A&C as long as we can. And that comes at a cost. We know that, right? And that's a tough cost. But as Ms. KDA said, there's plenty of options out there to take care of our veterans and their needs.
And those cemeteries have the same standards. It's the same government upright headstone.
Yeah.
It's the same care and perpetual care of the gravesite and the terrain, as well as the headstones, as we provide at Arlington National Cemetery.
Yeah.
They're beautiful places.
I have been to many of those cemeteries, mm-hmm. you know, especially the VA ones. They are wonderful because the VA just like all of us who are in that military cemetery profession. It's our responsibility to make sure that we take care of our veterans with the dignity and respect that they deserve.
That's right. And to have the option of having it as close as approximately 75 miles from any location is really something that's important when the loved ones want to visit the grave sites in the future. Really something important. Yes. Well, Sergeant Major Brew, let's switch a question to you. So there are several comments on social media about retirees who are disappointed. They may no longer be eligible for burial. They feel benefits provided by the government has regressed. How do we respond to that feedback?
Well, SMA retired daily. It's going to be hard for me to call you Dan, but I'm going to do this because you asked me to do it.
This is your opportunity.
So make
Fire
sure
away.
SMA Grayson knows I'm only following my orders here. In a serious note, we recognize that this is an emotional and personal time for our veterans and family.
Yeah.
But we're at a crossroad. Without change to eligibility and expansion, we're going to run out of spaces for burial at Arlington National Cemetery. Mm-hmm. We don't have any options available to serve over 22 million veterans and retirees. There is just not enough burial spaces to meet them. What we want to share, again, as we stated earlier, we have 141 VA national cemeteries and 115 state-run cemeteries that are ready to honor the service and sacrifice of our members in our military.
Yeah, that's important. But we still want their comments, right? I mean, we welcome their comments and their feedback, and that's important. And if they need information, of course, they can contact ANC and get the help they need to answer some of the questions they have.
Absolutely, Dan.
Yeah, well, great.
So we have a very robust public outreach. Yeah. So people can find out what we're doing every single day because we have 3.5 million visitors a year. That's in addition to the 24 to 30 military burials that we have every single day. We have over 4,000 wreath laying ceremonies. Yeah. We have the distinguished visitors, heads of state, minister of defense, chief of staff of armies from nations all around the world. When they're here visiting with the president or the Department of Defense, they come to Arlington National Cemetery, lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown, or else visit other grave sites that they consider important. So our website, arlingtoncemetery.mil, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, Twitter at Arlington National. There's numerous ways that people can reach out to us. We also have a smartphone app called ANC Explorer.
Yeah.
It's one of the top 10 in the mobile app world. So if you will upload that on your phone, either Android, you know, or Apple, you can find anything. You can get directions to find a loved one's gravesite or historical figure or cultural resources. You can find maps. You can also find links to real-time information when you want to get something out quickly to the public. So there's numerous ways that the people can reach out to us and can keep in touch with what we're doing.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, if you haven't been to the Arlington National Cemetery, it is a national treasure. It is something that personally, I'm a little sighted because I spent a lot of time in the military, but if you haven't seen it, it's something you should see in your lifetime. Because even myself, escorting senior military officials through that cemetery in the past, one of the most touching comments I received is that a senior military official from another country looked at me and said, "This is why American service members fight so hard. Because you take so good care of your fallen soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine, and Coast Guardsmen." So Ms. KDA, as you know, we had a great initiative in the last few years to bring back the uniform of the greatest generation. And we did that to both honor the greatest generation and let the nation know that there's the next greatest generation. But going back to that greatest generation, what are we doing for our greatest generation with regards to ANC?
Well, thank you, Dan. First, I love the new Army Greens. It is absolutely just such a tribute to our greatest generation.
Whoever led that initiative is a brilliant person, a brilliant person.
Yes. My father was World War II, fought in World War II, as did all of his brothers but one, and all my mother's brothers, and several of their other cousins.
Wow.
So they truly did incredible things.
Yeah. And this is personal for you, too.
It is personal. Mm-hmm. To quote our current Chief of Staff of the Army, General McConville, you know, the new Army Greens uniform is to not just acknowledge our greatest generation, but then our current veterans now our current greatest generation because of the incredible things that they've done. So for World War II, that is a rapidly dwindling population.
Yeah.
As we went through all the different deliberations on proposed criteria, we decided we are not going to change the eligibility criteria for World War II veterans.
Yeah.
If you are currently eligible as a World War II veteran, you will remain eligible regardless of this final revised criteria.
And I think everybody across our nation would agree. We owe that to our World War II veterans because they were the greatest generation.
We do. You know, I've been to some of the American Battle Monument cemeteries. They're, the ABMC are the ones that operate and maintain those overseas battlefields and monuments. It absolutely is just chilling and inspiring to just even get a somewhat of an understanding of what our greatest generation did for this country is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and I had the pleasure and the honor of going to France for the last Normandy ceremony and met some of our greatest generation members there. And I urge you, if you know a World War II veteran, go out and thank them for their service. And I'm glad to hear that ANC is keeping their promise to our World War II veterans.
We are, and it was just important that as we've discussed all of this, there was absolutely no appetite or no inkling that we would change that. And that's the Army deliberations, that's our FACA Advisory Committee deliberations that they've done publicly, that we just decided if you're already eligible as a World War II veteran, then it's not going to change.
We're going to maintain that commitment.
Yes.
Great to hear. Thank you. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. And Renee, one of the most asked questions on the ANC social media page is whether a veteran spouse is still eligible to be interned with them. Can you provide some guidance and update on that?
Dan, I want to guarantee that spouses are and will remain eligible to be buried with their veteran service member or active duty service member. They have derivative eligibility through their service member's service, along with minor children and adult dependent children. So we do use one grave per family. So they are interred and urned in the same grave location, either above or below ground, but they will remain eligible with their veteran.
Yeah. Now, is that the same throughout all national cemeteries?
Pretty much. The National Cemeteries Administration does have what they call set-asides. Two service members each have their individual grave. So say two service members married to one another, two veterans married to one another are authorized to have their own grave locations. But at Arlington National Cemetery, we're regulated. And to preserve space so that we can have more first burials, we place them in the same grave at Arlington.
Good. Well, great. You know, the Veteran Affairs has approximately 141 national cemeteries. Ma'am, you mentioned that earlier, for our veterans all across our country. Ms. KDA, can you talk to us about other options? And I know you've mentioned some of them that exist for veterans when it comes to their end of life planning.
So thanks, Dan. So there's the military cemeteries. Mm-hmm. The Army also has active cemeteries and Army installations that are just for the Army. And yes, and so there are nearly 40 of them.
Wow.
You can go and look at your nearby Army installation to see if they have an active cemetery. If you are a graduate from one of the academies, you know, they also have active cemeteries, you know, the Army, the Air Force, and the Marines.
So they're separate from the other cemeteries. I know that they have the same headstones, right? They
yes.
Have the same...
We all work through the VA to have that government upright headstone.
Yeah.
So there are the NCA cemeteries, the 141. There are the Army installation cemeteries. The Air Force and the Navy just have a few others besides their academies. Of course, the Army, West Point, also has a cemetery that's also pretty incredible. In fact, we're working on expansion. We're building expansion of that one right now.
Yeah.
And then there are the state military cemeteries. And then outside of that, there are other options as in the private cemeteries.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the government will provide that government upright headstone anywhere a veteran's buried. It's a veteran's benefit, that white marble or granite upright headstone.
Yeah, that's a very important fact for our listeners. And that's something I didn't know myself. That's, you know, we learn something every day. So they will, right?
Yes,
so
that's
another option. So if they want to be buried close to home inside of a private cemetery, they can still reach out. And how would they get information on that?
Funeral directors and with death, and that's what we're really talking about, end of life. Funeral directors are most families' best connection with getting these benefits, along with the flag, the burial flag for veterans. Right. The DD-214 or the discharge document is how a veteran, you know, family actually gains access to those benefits. Mm-hmm. And so most funeral directors, and because every family has to go through a funeral director at some point, even if they're going to cremate their loved one at the end, they have to have a funeral director and they'll guide them.
Yeah, that's great. I know we buried my father when I lost him a few years ago. He was a veteran, and our funeral director was very good at helping us. And after we provided DD-214, and the local post office actually provided the flags to the family.
That is a true statement, sir.
There's many resources out there. If they do have questions, they don't feel like they've got the answers to them, they could always come to your website. I'm sure there's links there that can direct them in the right place.
And ANC Explorer app, the website, all have feedback mechanism. You can send information depending on the nature of the question, depends on how quickly a response we can get to someone. Obviously, we have a priority of those families that are waiting for burial, but all those kind of questions, we can get them guided in the right direction and get them the information they're looking for.
Yeah, excellent.
So if people reach out to us and they send us a question through any of these mechanisms or even through our call center, we will answer.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So they've always got someone there ready to answer their questions. And it's a service that ANC provides.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's excellent. So, Sergeant Major Brew, I know we've touched on this all throughout our conversation today. But can you just recap for us real quick? How can veterans and public learn about the proposed changes, stay up to date on the things, and get answer to questions and comments, all the things we talked about today? Can you recap that for us?
Well, Dan, to recap, again, family members and veterans can go on our website at arlingtoncemetery.mil or on our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Arlington, capital N-A-T-L. Please visit our site. We are looking to hear from you.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Ms. Katie, I appreciate your time and your team today. Is there any last words that you'd like to give to our listening audience out there with regards to ANC?
Yeah, Dan, one thing we talk about every day, for those of us that serve at Arlington National Cemetery, it's an honor and it's a privilege.
Yeah,
it truly is. And so every day we really strive to be perfect because we know for every family that comes to Arlington National Cemetery, it's an experience they're going to remember the rest of their lives.
Yeah,
and we want to make it the best, you know, memory for them that we can.
Yeah. And that's been my experience, ma'am. And thank you. And thank you to your team. Every single time I step foot in that cemetery, I'm reminded of the service and sacrifice of our fallen heroes, but also how well we take care of them.
Yes.
And your team does a phenomenal job.
Thank you.
So our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Arlington National Cemetery's Executive Director, the Deputy Superintendent for Cemetery Administration, and the Senior Enlisted Advisor. We can all be proud of the innovation and initiative of the command and the many leaders, soldiers, and Army civilians who are dedicated to honoring and preserving this national shrine we call ANC.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Monday with a brand new episode of Army Matters with Army Real Talk. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah.